Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible.
Let us remain standing for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning very mindful that the human is very, very frail, but you are very, very great, Lord. And so we come to you and we ask, Father, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon our lips and upon our ears, Father, this morning, that we would speak and hear only those things that would be pleasing to you. Father, whatever is said by myself this morning, I pray that it would be kept within the framework of the word that's already been vindicated. And Father, we count it a great privilege to stand here and speak to the purchase of the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That bride, Lord, that was elected from before the foundation of the world, no doubt before us this morning. Father, look in our hearts this morning and minister to each one of us, Father, is my prayer as we commit this meeting to you for your honor and glory. Now we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord bless you, and you may be seated. I want to greet you in the name of the Lord this morning. Greetings from sunny Saskatchewan. I don't know how chilly it is up there today, but it doesn't matter. It's pretty nice down here. So we'll take this. A little bit, I feel a little guilty because I'm kind of a traitor. We love this country. We lived here for 15 years, that is in Ohio, and we love it. But, hey, I felt it was an open door to go back there. They asked me to come back there and pastor a little group. So we're used to a small group, and I suppose we're about 35 people over there, so it's just a small group. And I'm not, one of these whirling dervish-type people. Just try to be as real as possible. And Brian and I do go back some years. I have respect for Brother Brian because I do believe that you get what you see, or you see what you get. He's a real person, I believe. You can't be around Brother Brian for too long until you know where he stands, you know, and I like that about a person. I get a little bit uneasy if I find out that there's things being said behind my back that's a little different than what's being said to my face. So I really appreciate a person that tries to be real. And that would be my desire as well, to be as real. I believe, you know, Brother Vail said his sister was pretty good at handwriting analysis. And so Brother Vail said he stuck Brother Bram's handwriting in front of his sister one time. She said, whoever this person's writing is, this is the most transparent person that I've ever analyzed handwriting. So I will never be Brother Branham. We will never be Brother Branham, but it's certainly, I would aspire to be transparent before you and before God. And it's good to be a Christian. I love to serve God. I think it's wonderful to identify with the truth that we have received in this hour, and I rejoice in it. Talking with somebody the other day, and we were talking about whatever is in second place, he said it's pretty far behind. I said, you know what, it's not even in the picture. I believe we have believed the true report. I believe that with all my heart, and I rejoice in it. So, not to visit too long with you, I'm going to be turning to Genesis 15 after a bit here. But in looking at the experience of Abraham with God from the Bible, I was so impressed with the unlimited grace and mercy of God to Abraham and the far-reaching effects of what God promised to Abraham. Brother Vail said in one of the older messages how that Abraham's faith in God was based on a revelation. And that's where I identify. Oh, that's all I have this morning. Whatever faith I have, it's based on a revelation. And I believe we have heard a true, vindicated, revealed word in this day through Brother Branham's ministry. So reading in Genesis 15 and 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham. And Brother Branham said, See, Abram was a prophet, so he saw visions. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And of course, that exceeding great reward is what, you know, kind of was on my heart. And I thought, try to share some thoughts around that. You know, it's to the abundance, to a great degree, exceedingly. And we all know what the word abundance is. But I was looking at and just so thrilled with the richness of God's mercy, the abundance of His grace toward us. And I tell you what, I was a sinner. And one day, I met a girl whose father had the tapes of Brother Branham. And of course, I wasn't interested in the religion at that point, but I was interested in the girl. But he would play me a little bit of Brother Branham, maybe 10 minutes or so, and then I'd be under conviction and I'd kind of walk out of the room. I knew they wouldn't follow me. But we ended up getting married, and I remember when I asked for her hand in marriage, it wasn't a very diplomatic way to ask, but he said, well, he said, I believe if you two do what's in your heart. I was not serving God at that time. She was professing to believe, but she didn't feel that she was walking in the way that she really should have been at that time. And of course, I'm sure the family was quite concerned. Here she was dating an unbeliever. But he told us at that time, he said, you know, and I don't know what he saw. He was just an ordinary farmer, a man. He said, I believe if you guys do what I feel is in your heart, you're going to be okay. So we did get married, but it took 4 years. And one day she decided to kind of rededicate her life to the Lord. And I believe it was genuine. It was a real dedication. I mean, she was living a pretty sinful life in those days because, you know, I could take her out to a movie sometimes or something like that. That was pretty ungodly. But she was, you know, she had been raised in a Christian home. But she took that stand, got rebaptized in water, and that's the day that the Holy Spirit started dealing with me. Something came in my heart. And I said, you know what? I'm not fit to associate with these people. I had a lot of regard for anybody that was a professing Christian. But of course, I was smoking in those days, and I said I'd been smoking for 12 years. And I said, something said, you know, if you make a commitment to the Lord to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and make that commitment, you know, you ain't going to be able to quit smoking, and you're just going to make a mockery of the whole thing. Can you see that, enemy? And he held me there probably for about 3 years. I had the conviction in my heart, but that day, I didn't think about the smoking. And I really believe that I began to feel godly sorrow. I got to the place I said, I'm not fit to associate with these people. We had a little boy by then, and Paul, which is not so little anymore. But they went to the river to get baptized, and I went in the car, and I was crying, and I got to the place where I said, you know, I'm not fit to associate with the human race. I was just absolutely lost, lost, lost. I believe it was the Holy Spirit actually dealing with my heart. And so I began to cry out unto the Lord, and driving along in the car, not in the church, not at the altar, whatever, but there in the car, I began to cry out unto the Lord, what can I do? What can I do? And something come back to me, if you'll receive my word, me and my word, I'll give you eternal life. And I believe it was, you know, the Holy Spirit. I don't say that I heard an audible voice or anything like that. But I pondered that in my heart. Could I accept that one that had died for me and that my sins could be taken care of? So I battled it a little bit in my mind, and finally I pondered it, and I began to say in my heart, yes, yes. And I got to the place where I said, yes, 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 Lord. And I cried out loud. I said, yes, Lord. And I believe that was a turning point in my life. Amen. Now, I turned around. I was going to go and see my mother at that time. And something was taking place in my heart, so I ended up going back. They baptized in the river at that time. So I went back and went back to the baptismal service where she was being baptized. But you know what? We've been made many mistakes along the way. But I do believe that by God's grace, that there was a tide post there that anchored, began to anchor that day. And I remember I used to climb power poles, you know, big bed. Pete climbing these power poles. I always say, hey, we had those one-inch soles that you could stand on one of these stirrups on spurs for a half a day at a time without your feet, you know, falling asleep and so forth. But anyways, walking with hobnail boots where angels fear to trod. But for the next 3 days, there was such overwhelming joy in my heart. One minute I'd be crying, the next minute I'd be rejoicing. But the overwhelming feeling that I had in my heart, that I was set free, I was free, I was free from sin, from my ungodly past. So, hey, wonderful to be a Christian. By the grace of God, we're still trying to serve Him today. Anyway, abundant grace and mercy, because I'll tell you what, I was not worthy. That's absolutely. And I'm not worthy today. I'm not counting on one thing of myself to be worthy, but it's the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that has set me free from sin. And by His grace, He's given us a revelation. He's given myself a revelation. It was only a couple of weeks after that I gave my heart to the Lord. I had to come to the decision. Hey, is Brother Branham, was that Malachi 4? Was that Brother Branham or was that John the Baptist? My center reference said it was John. And I said, wow, I don't want to be wrong on this word. But I was able to receive it. And that was in July of 1964. In February of 1965, one day we were coming home from church in Grenthal, Brother Gunther's church. I'm sure it's been mentioned. Brother Gunther's, it was a pretty big church up there. And I said, hey, who wants to go to Jeffersonville? Here, Brother Branham. Brother Branham was having meetings. So five of us ended up going. By Tuesday, we left. We drove 32 hours straight through. We ended up in Jeffersonville about, I think after 7:30 in the evening, right around 7:30 in the evening, we said, you know what? Meetings are not supposed to start till Thursday, but we should go by the tabernacle and just see if something was going on. And sure enough, the parking lot was full. And so we came in there, and we were these five Mennonite boys, all had black jackets on, been driving for 32 hours in a car in a little F-85 Oldsmobile. And I don't have very long legs, but I'll tell you, we must have been some sore looking sight to walk in there. And if you know the tabernacle, it's got the two doors on the side and in the back, and there's an aisleway through there. And one of the deacons, I don't know who it was, or ushers, whoever, they ushered us in and they set five chairs out in that aisleway. And when I think back of it, I think, good grief, we must have been a sorry looking sight. But Brother Branham was in the pulpit already ministering. And of course, when I think of it now, it just thrills my heart, because the subject he was speaking on was a man running from the presence of the Lord. I said, wow, when I think of that, what an opportunity. That's the first service. And I was able to be in five services. I was there when he preached marriage, divorce, who's this Melchizedek, seed is not heir with a shuck, and this day the scripture is fulfilled. Wonderful experience. First time I ever heard Brother Vail right there, Don Ruddle's church. Preaching on receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the afternoon. Of course, we were so conservative, you know, and we were just, oh, you had to be so nice and all this kind of conduct and stuff. And it was just, it was just legalism as far as I'm concerned. But not that I don't believe in a holy Christian walk. I do. I believe there the Holy Spirit is a Holy Spirit. But I remember Brother Vail preaching, you know, he'd be pretty rough. And he'd say some things here. What's the matter with you, a bunch of goats? Put that in your pipe and smoke it. I thought, wow. But hey, you know, by the grace of God, it never offended me. I couldn't get away from it. That was 1965. We went back in 1966 in the wintertime, three of us couples, and all of a sudden I had a question. Hey, how was I really baptized? Was it the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or Jesus? Because they were pretty confused. They knew it wasn't Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but they baptized one in the name of Jesus, one in the name of the Lord Jesus, possibly somebody in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, they had a question. I said, you know, I don't really know how I was baptized. I said, hey, that's easy. We'll just do it over. So we got, my wife and I got rebaptized in Jeffersonville. My brother, man, I just heard he passed away the other day, I guess, or recently. So anyway, I said, these guys should surely know how to do it right. So we came back, and of course, it caused a pretty big stir in that church. It ended up that the whole church had to get rebaptized because nobody knew really how they were baptized. But by 1967, that was 66, by 1967, I was able to get the tapes of Brother Vail through Brother Fred Toms and, of course, Brother Tom Applegate. By 1969, I was so frustrated that they wouldn't bring Brother Vail's ministry to Canada. I said, I'm going to move to the States that I can be. Brother Neville was still alive at that time. And I said, I'm going to move somewhere where I can be between Brother Vail's ministry and Brother Neville's ministry. So that would have been somewhere right around here, about halfway. I didn't know there was a Covington, Kentucky, and a Covington, Ohio. So, but anyway, never turned back with believing that Brother Vail's ministry is a genuine fivefold ministry. I believe it with all my heart. And very, very happy about it. I got the reputation in Saskatchewan of, you know, we're the church that's, it's amazing. Anybody wants to get rid of Brother Vail's tape, somebody come the other day and say, you know, man, I got a lot of tapes and stuff. And Brother Branham, Brother Vail. So they come to me and they want to give me the tapes of Brother Vail. We got tapes and tapes and tapes, cassette tapes and stuff. So what we do is we store them underneath our church in the crawl space. I said to Brother Vail, what do you do with some of these things like Bibles and so forth? And he said, well, you bury them is what you do. So we put them under the crawl space. So in our under our church, we have a crawl space, not a basement. But so I say, hey, we're by the grace of God, we're literally standing on the Word of God. Not disrespectfully, but we want that to be our foundation. But yeah, it's always amazing how we get the material of Brother Vail. Of course, they think that I call Brother Vail about every other day, and I'm not that kind of a person. Anyway, let me leave that there. Wanted to share that with you. I do believe we've been very, very fortunate to have a ministry such as that that would explain to us, you know, Brother Branham's message. And someone said to me some years ago, I don't need nobody to explain to me the prophet's message. I've got the prophet. Well, I said, I believe I have the God of the prophet. And I do, that is what I want. I want to have that, a portion of that God in my heart that Brother Branham served. The thought that thrilled me, I said, was, as I looked at it, God revealed to Abraham, I am thy exceeding great reward. And I love what you see in the next verse, how Abraham immediately responds with such confidence. And it reminds me, I have a mental picture of a child before his beneficent father, believing exactly what the father would say, in this case Abraham, believing exactly what God said. And I look at Brother Branham, and I see such simplicity of faith when it came to the Word of God. And I know that's what I need in my own heart. When the Bible said something, that's it, that settles it. That's the end of it. If it tells me you go out here and you go down this gravel road here and you turn right and by you're going to get on 71 heading north, I am absolutely convinced when somebody like that's living here tells me that's the direction, I have confidence it's absolutely where it's going to take me. I want to have that absolute confidence in the Word of God. Whatever it says is the truth, and stand up by the grace of God. Verse 2, and Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of mine house is this Eliezer of Damascus. The word of the Lord came to Abraham, and immediately he turns around with such confidence and starts requesting before God. And I love that. He said, I go childless, and this steward of mine house is the Eliezer of Damascus. Then Abram gets even more definitive in his request to the beneficence of the sovereign God and Father. As I said, believing with such simplicity absolute simple faith, believing that God would be able to perform exactly as he had promised. And I identify with this because I want this in my own heart more and more every day. Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. Lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." And that's not all. Not just one child now that was going to come forth, but the gracious and merciful God has more for his believing child. And he, God, brought him forth abroad and said, "Look toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." And of course, there's only a few in every age, but over the ages, it could be many, many. And there seems to be no limit in my heart, in my mind, when I read this, to the generosity of God and what he is willing to do for his children. And I'm identifying as one of his children today. We see such needs among the ranks of the people. People dying of cancer. You know, I believe with all my heart, not only can God heal cancer, he is able and willing to heal to the uttermost. I believe it with all my heart. Verse 6, "And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." It's all Abram had. He had the promise of the word, and he believed God. Amen. So we have today. We believe the word. I don't have any supernatural phenomena that I can rest on. As I said before with my testimony, I believe it was an outstanding conversion, the way that God dealt with me. But you know, I had to go back and say, hey, was it genuine? Was it false? What was it, the real Holy Ghost, or what was it? I believe it was the real Holy Spirit, because it led me to this word. Led me to the ministry of Brother Branham. Led me to the word of God. It led me to a true fivefold ministry. I'm satisfied today in my heart that it was the Holy Spirit that was dealing with me. And I want him to continue to deal with me. Verse 7 of Genesis 15. "And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur, out of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said to him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and the she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a pigeon," and so forth. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I look at the prophet worshiping and so on. And in verse 10, he said, "And he took all these, divided them in the midst, each one against the other, the fowls and so forth. The sun going down, I'll read that verse 12. "And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo and horror of great darkness fell upon him." Brother Vail said that was speaking of Jesus Christ being crucified. Brother Branham also says that it was absolutely God taking Abraham out of the picture. That Abraham had nothing to do with this, just like the other unconditional covenant. He said, "I have made you a father of nations." Speaking in the past tense. I have already done it. Nothing that Abraham could do. So, therefore, to me, the promise to Abraham of having a child is magnified to include the spiritual seed, because he talked about that seed that he was going to give. And in verse 17, as I said, I see the prophet worshiping, and I identify as one of those children of the prophets, spiritually speaking. But in verse 17 of Genesis 15, "Came to pass that when the sun went down, it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces." Brother Branham, we were talking at home about Brother Branham and the pillar of fire and so forth. But he had, he talks about Moses, how he'd seen the pillar of fire many times. But that this one time, and you, I'm sure Brian has talked about it. He said Moses went into the pillar of fire and he came back out of the pillar of fire. You know that place where it said, "No man can see my face and live." And yet just before that, it says Moses spoke face to face with God. So Brother Vail's asked the question, so how do you speak face to face with God? The pillar of fire, what comes from the pillar of fire is the voice of God. So where does the voice of God come to us? It comes through the prophet. Prophet coming from the presence of God, out of the presence of God, speaks to us the Word of God. Amen. Very happy about that. Many people talk about God. We have evangelicals up there, you know. Accept Jesus as your Savior and live happily ever after. There's a lot of them around there, especially among the ranks of the Mennonites. But I say, hey, what about a prophet? They don't want a prophet. But let me say it this way. I'm not trying to tell you that we're out there beating the drum beat trying to sell something. I try to keep my mouth shut nowadays until they ask a question. If they ask a question, then you can give them an answer. So Brother Branham said a good product sells itself. He also said you can live a sermon 10 times better than you can preach. And I say, hey, help me live it before the people. And let God make an opening if he wants to say something. So we look for the people. We look for people to ask the questions and then try to help what we can. Brother Branham said, let me say this first. The light that was moving between those pieces, and that's what I identify with, is the pillar of fire. I'm not looking to see the pillar of fire here this morning. I believe it. Imagine you got the pictures around you. You got the pillar of fire there. You got the cloud there. Absolutely. We believe that. We worship neither one of those things, but we worship the God that's identified in the pillar of fire or in the cloud and so forth. How many times did Brother Branham talk about seeing that light in the meeting? And I had one line here. He said, right back there, he said, don't you see that light standing right yonder? And of course, verse 18, well, let me say this first. He said, don't you see that light out there? I believe it was Brother George Smith that said recently, Brother Branham spent more than half his time in that other dimension. But I look at Brother Branham and I hear something, don't you see that light there? And so forth. I see the Holy Spirit just crying out, you know, for appealing to the people, for the sincerity of the people. But hey, like I said, I'm not looking for a pillar of fire to appear here this morning. If that pillar of fire appeared here this morning, we'd be nothing but a bunch of blithering idiots unless we had a prophet here to tell us what it's all about. Yeah. It takes a prophet to tell us. So I'm very happy about a prophet. I'm very happy about a true fivefold ministry. The Bible said it's for the perfecting of the saints. So when somebody says, I refuse to take the teaching of Lee Vail on the Godhead, I cringe in my boots. Then, of course, they're offended because I say that the body was not God, but God was in the body. I love it. I love the truth of the revelation of the Godhead the way Brother Vail has brought it. Verse 18, Genesis 15. And in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And I don't know, some Bible students, I guess they figure it's the Nile now. Dr. Schofield says a river in Egypt is not the Nile, but a small stream south of Gaza known as the Wadi al-Arsh. I have no idea if that's right or not. Doesn't matter to me what river it is, but I do believe whatever land God has given Israel, they will have it before it is all over. But speaking of Abraham now, so Abraham has been promised a child in Genesis 16 and 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said to Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And what a mess they made, trying to help God out. And no doubt it'd be no different in our own lives today, and we've done it many times. No doubt in my own life I have, trying to help God out when we just should keep our hands off and let Holy Spirit lead us. Yeah. Spend that time before Him, let Him lead us according to His perfect will. But we see the fighting going on there today between the Jews and the Arabs. And I feel that's the two, Brother Branham says in one place that the Ishmael was the Mohammedans, not against anything, against any race. But I guess I'm a friend of Israel. As a pastor, I know it's not good to take sides. I don't believe we should take sides. But I am a friend of Israel. In my heart, I can't help it. Whenever there's a victory for Israel, I say, I'm not much for these. We used to come down here to Cincinnati and watch the Cincinnati Reds or something like that. But, you know, the big red machine was tapering off by the time we got here. And they didn't have much of a machine in those days. But as I said before, when I went When we came to Brother Branham's meeting, that's one of the highlights of my life. We've been in Arizona. I walked where the prophet walked. We've been in the den and so forth. I've never been to Sunset Mountain. And I never had much of an interest in going to Israel because I said, I believe the record of the Bible. Jesus Christ was crucified. But I said, I need to have a revelation of what happened in my day. So I placed the emphasis over there. But you know, I agree with, Brother George Smith said, Brother Branham told him, he said, George, if you ever get to go to Israel, your Bible will be a new book. And when we went last year, my son wanted to, you know, make it a way for us to go. So we went, my wife and I went. It was a fabulous experience. It was just an outstanding experience to me. That's why I say, I guess I'm just a friend of Israel. When there's a victory, they win a victory, I just, you know, I'll root them on. But it's amazing. It was so amazing to me to see the fervency of those Jews at the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, you know, where they go to pray. And we stood and talked there with a man that was, I think he said he was 40 years old. And he was from Ohio. I forget, I think it was north of Lima somewhere toward, I think he was from up there. Might have even been Wisconsin. But anyway, 40 years old in my books is just a young man anymore. But anyway, he said, yeah, I brought my family back here because I wanted me and my family to experience the events of the Messiah coming and so forth. When you talk to that man, his eyes were just sparkling. You could stand there, and I mean, he approached us. I don't know why, but he came to us. And of course, you know, some of those devout Jews, they have those. Have you ever been there, Brian?
No.
They have those stools like that, a little higher than this, and they have their prayer book on there, and they just rock back and forth, you know, and they're praying, but the fervency, and they have their prayer requests, and every crack in that wall, they stuff their prayer requests in there because they feel, hey, that's the closest thing, you know, to the holiest of holies that they can. No, that's not right. It's the closest thing to heaven. The holiest of holies is another story. But I was just so thrilled to talk with this person especially. And you can feel the atmosphere around there. Of course, when you walk in there, you know, the men, they have that little thing that they put on the back of your head. And so I said, hey, you know, we're in Israel, so I don't care much for, I don't need to go to the Western Wall to pray, because I feel that, you know, to me, the Holy Spirit is what we reach out to. But it's okay, and I wouldn't fault them, because I regard them for what they believe, and their day is coming. But I was just so amazed at the sincerity and the fervency, you know, and just the glow in that person's face and so forth, with looking with anticipation. And even our tour guide, you know, she was Jewish. She was absolutely Jewish. She used the King James Version of the Bible as her handbook, and she knew that thing backwards and forwards, especially the Old Testament. And she knew the Christian doctrine, but she was pretty tickled with our group because we were 38 believers, pretty much except for two people. But she said, you know, I usually don't talk this much, but she said, you guys know your Bible so well. Of course, we were pumping the questions, you know, asking her the questions and so forth. And but she was just fabulous. But I love to see those people, especially at that wall. I love to see the sincerity and the fervency with which they were, you know, looking for that Messiah to come. And I kind of identified with them because, you know, I said in my heart, we're actually looking for the same one. They don't know it, but we're looking for the same one. We believe he's already been here once, but he's coming back. And so it was a wonderful experience to see the sparkle in the eyes of those people. And by the grace of God, of course, it's tragic to see the Mosque of Omar right on that holiest, the holy place there. Speaking of the holiest of holies, just a little side note, you know, on that Western Wall, they've got it excavated, and you can walk underneath there in a tunnel, and the... Of course, it's a lot of places, like, you can't get into the mosque unless you're Mohammedan. And they used to be able to go in there, but they've got a couple of guys sitting there with AK-47s. And so I wouldn't want to try to walk in there, but, you know, you can walk around. But going under the excavation of the walls, seeing those stones that they built it with, 50 feet long, and who knows how many tons they weigh, they told us, but I forget. But you walk down there, and there was a little opening there, and here's these young women, young Jewish women, sitting there in chairs, and they got their prayer book and so forth. And they said, you know, of course, it's all dark. It's kind of with lights in there and so on. And so the tour guide told us, she said, what's going on here is those young women, and they were, you know, beautifully dressed, you know, none of this American-style undressed business. We drive in the streets of Jerusalem, and my wife and I would count the women with the skirts on. And I said, there's two-thirds of the women were wearing dresses and skirts on. I thought, my goodness, how refreshing. University area, different places like that. We were just tickled to death. But over here along that wall there, our tour guide told us what those young women were doing. They said, I don't want to say a habit, but it's a tradition, it's a custom, that the night before a young woman gets married, she goes and she prays in that place because that's the closest to the holiest of holies, because they can't get, you know, because that mosque of Omar is sitting on that spot, at least they feel. There's some controversy that there may be another spot, just, but hey, whatever that is, but thought it was interesting, the holiest of holies, that was the closest they could get to the holiest of holies. And of course, I'm always thrilled with what we believe, because we sing the song Within the Veil. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Brother Branham preached the unveiling of God, the mighty God unveiled before us. What a privilege we have. How wonderful. But as I said, we're actually looking for the same person. Going back to Brother Branham's quote here, he said, I say our Jesus rose from the dead. He's living today, and he does the same things today he did then. All kinds of signs and wonders. And you fundamental people are sitting around trying to explain that away and missing the very fundamental part of the Bible. That's exactly right. He said, I'm a full gospel preacher that believes that everything that God said is the truth. Amen. I feel like a holy roller right now. Yes, sir, I believe it. I love to hear, as I said before, I love to hear Brother Branham say, I believe the word of God, because that's my desire. I want to believe this word of God regardless. I love to hear him speak, as I said before, with such simplicity in what God's word said. I believe there's one place where he said he looked at this church and he looked at that doctrine and said, if this guy was right, that guy was right. He said, when I went back to the Bible and did what the apostles did, I got the same kind of results. Brother Branham, vindicated prophet. He says, I know that my words is the words of a man. This is God's word, the Bible. And all scriptural doctrine must be based upon the word. If it's anything contrary to the word, it's not right. It must come out of the Bible. We've been taught that. And I know Brian teaches that here, because I know he holds the has a very high esteem for Brother Vail's ministry as well, and Brother Branham. We've been taught to look to the word. You want to know what kind of a spirit is? How do you judge a spirit? By the word. No matter who would come to you, prophet, priest, potentate, what if he speaks contrary to this? It's not right. This is the word. God's provided way. Walk in God's provided way. He has provided us a messenger, the Holy Ghost. I'm pausing there because in my heart I ponder that. Brother Ram saying, he's provided us a messenger, the Holy Ghost. Absolutely. Again, Brother Branham could say that like no other man in this generation could say that, because I believe he's identifying the personal presence of God, who is the Holy Ghost, in the midst of us. He's provided us with a word. Now there we go. That's where I come in. I believe this word. I want to believe this word. And if any spirit speaks contrary to the word, it can't be the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost wrote the word. And the preacher said to my wife some years ago, you know, you're just kind of sarcastic about us. It's not just word, word, word. But it is. I love it. It's word, word, word. You get tired of hearing word? Look out. We take everything back to the word. Absolutely. And of course, it's, I say, vindicated, revealed word. God not only had promised Abraham a seed, But he had actually made it definitive. He said about, you know, the stars and how abundant, how great that, how the multiplicity of that seed. But I was also thrilled to see it, how God comes down more and more and more definitively. We talked a little bit about Hagar and how that Sarah tried to, you know, they tried to work. And, of course, Abram went along with it, but it was just a mess. But even there, God was very, very gracious to Hagar. And even said about Ishmael, you know, how his seed would be multiplied. And you better believe it's multiplied. I don't know if you've ever seen the statistics. It's just amazing how they've multiplied. But God not only promised Abram a seed, but definitively said it would come through Sarah, not Hagar. That is the promised seed. This Abraham's seed according to the flesh, sure. He had 11 other sons, I guess. I think is what Brother Abraham said. But Romans 9 and 6, Paul speaking now, he said, not as though the word of God had not taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And even though I said, like even he told Hagar, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, but they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time I will come, and Sarah shall have the son. And God made the promise so sure that the elect will not miss it. All that the Father hath given me will come. No man can pluck them out of my hand. No man can come to me except God draws him. What a wonderful Bible we have. I identify with the promised seed of Abraham. Abraham then become 99 years old, 25 years after the promise given him, still strong. I remember the day when, after Brother Branham had been in the car wreck, and we were just sitting like a bunch of little chickens huddled around, you know, just in such awe about us, we didn't know what God was going to do. We were absolutely just convinced that God was going to do something outstanding. There was no thought in our mind that God would take his prophet and not his bride. But we ended up gathering at a place there, and by, you we came to talking about it. We said, I wonder how he was doing and so forth. So I got elected to make the phone call. So we called to the hospital over there where Brother Branham, where they had him. And I remember Brother Perry Green answered the phone and said, Brother Branham passed away at 5:49 this afternoon. We called an hour after he'd passed away. But how many years has it been since then? We're still here. How many years will it be? 2012, right? I have no confidence. Somebody pushing it to me even yesterday. I'm not for dates. I say, hey, fine, you know. Whatever is future, if there's a prophet there with thus saith the Lord, a prophet like Brother Branham, amen. If he has thus saith the Lord, he tells me, yeah, it'd be a different story. Anything else? I was around 1977. I've had dates pushed at me and time again. I said, you know what? I'm going to leave it there. And somebody said, it's going to start it. I said, hey, you might be surprised. It might be 2011 and a half. Yeah. No, it's going to be after. I said, hey, you know, do whatever. Brother Branham said, when they got it all figured out, you can be sure you're wrong. So we don't try to figure it out. We believe it. That's what we do. We want to believe it with all of our hearts. And I believe that in my heart, I want what God wants. So we'll see what God does. Brother Branham comes back. What will he do? I'll find out when he gets here. We look for resurrection and so forth. Abram become 90 years old. And like I said, you know, after the promise was made, strong. Why, Sarah's womb was dead. Abram was dead. His seed was dead within him, but not God's word. So we've been waiting around. We're looking for, you know, the signs of the end time. I'm looking for a pope to come out of America. Brother Branham said it. I don't know. Time will tell how it'll all play out. I understand, was it Pope Benedict said to made the statement that he said, well, it's wonderful that that America has a black president. They could probably have a black pope. So who knows? But I want to be very interested and very open to whatever God does. I believe in my heart. I want what God has for us. And I want to be a part of that. I believe by the grace of God, I'm a part of the revelation today because I identify with the scripture that Paul said, I think, to Timothy. He said, henceforth, there's laid up a crown of righteousness for me and for all those that love his appearing. And as far as I know my heart, I really believe that I love his appearing and the revelation of the parousia, the presence. No matter how dead you are, let me read this again. Sarah's womb was dead. Abram's womb was dead. His seed was dead within him, but not God's word. No matter how dead you are, as long as that word's in there, there's life. Absolutely. Jesus said, my word is spirit and life. I say God intrinsically, essentially, his spirit in him was life. And he, to me, stands behind that word to perform it. And it will not return void till it has accomplished that to which it was sent. As long as that word's in there, there's life. Can you take it tonight? Can you receive the word? Looking to the unseen, a couple of things here. I don't know. I haven't been looking at my watch. How long have I been up here? Not long? Well, I'll take a little more. You're welcome to, you know, to walk out if you get to. We see Abraham. Message called Looking to the Unseen. Again, I love this. Looking to the Unseen. And he was not a young man when this happened. He was an old man, 75 years old, and his wife Sarah, which was his half-sister, and they had been married many, many years since she was a girl about 17. It's believed. And God told Abraham, I have chosen you and Sarah that you are going to have a child. And Sarah had been barren all her life, but Abraham never looked at what his eyes would see. An old, wrinkled woman, many years past the time of life to have children, but he looked at the unseen. He saw Isaac. By faith, he saw Isaac, and he, after looking to the unseen, he called those things which were not as though they were. He got a glimpse of the unseen. By faith, he saw it. And the Bible says that he endured as seeing the invisible God with him all along the road. Absolutely. I identify with Abraham by the grace of God. When once a man catches that vision of the invisible God, there's nothing that stabilizes that man's thinking. It stabilizes his actions, and in the time of distress and trouble, it'll still make him look upward and above the things that are happening around him because he's looking to the unseen, yet by promise. And that's how I look. I'm not a prophet. I don't look for the supernatural phenomena. I look to be able to believe the word of God. That's where I look. Whatever God does, the dynamics and so forth, that's not my business. Now, how Abraham, not only did he see the unseen, and the reason he believed it was because God said it. Brother Brown, because God said it. That settles it. Well, did God say it? That's the only question. If he said it, you've got the true word of God today, folks.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You have, by the grace of God, believed the true report in the word that you believe. Because I know what Brother Brian stands for here. And if we, being dead in Christ, we are Abraham's seed. If the spirit that was in Christ dwells in you, it does the same thing. It takes every divine promise of God that's in the Bible and calls it present tense and rests itself upon there. Absolutely. Visiting Sister Marlene Pitts yesterday, I was quite surprised how strong she was, actually. She's off that tube, and apparently the nurses say that a strong body, I don't know, is one of your daughters a nurse? Whatever that tube is that they put in there, they said once you take that off, a strong person lasts about 14 days, but that's about the length of it. So he said he talked to her about it, and she said, take it off. So he took it off last Monday, and we saw her yesterday. I was surprised, my wife and I were both surprised how strong she looked. And she raised up on the bed, you know, gave my wife a hug and so forth. But I said, you know, Marlene, I'm not praying for you to die because I want you to stay around. 58 years old. Said, you've got time to serve God. Absolutely. And God, I believe, is interested in healing people. So, but I said, hey, you know, it's in God's hands. And but of course, he has said, hey, if God gives me a miracle, I'll have that much greater testimony. And I say, hey, it's in God's hands. But I do believe God is willing and able to heal. I'm so happy to believe what we believe about the presence. Many voices among the ranks of the message calling, this is the message. But by God's grace, we have believed the true report. Thousands of times, Brother Branham said, thousands and thousands of times, God did the supernatural in his ministry. And then he said that the pulpit was only a fraction of what you saw in the day-to-day life. And you hear some of these testimonies and so forth. They talk a lot about the supernatural. But a supernatural phenomena does no good for us unless it's explained. Brother Vail said you could have a supernatural phenomena stacked up and row upon row upon row to dazzle you to no end unless somebody explains it. What good is it going to do us? I have found where we are, I don't know how it is here, we have a very unique position there in Saskatchewan. We probably have, I've counted it up one day, we probably have about 1,000 believers in Saskatchewan professing to believe Brother Branham. And we have, like I say, we're the only church that really, you know, loves Brother Vail's material. The rest of them are quite critical. But there's a little saying over there, one of the, I don't know if you're familiar with the believers, the singers and so forth. One of the brothers said, when we go to a restaurant, you know, in town, in the city, it's 250, 80 population. So we run into each other all the time. Plus it's family. I mean, every church has, you know, their family is split up. So when we got weddings and funerals, you know, you got to associate with them. But one of the brothers had said every restaurant has three kind of believers. But so many voices out there, I am so happy for the voice that thrills my heart concerning this word. I said to someone, I've been saying this for some time, I said, if I can get Brother Branham and Brother Vail's material and the Bible lined up, at this stage of my life, if I can get those three kind of lined up, you know, I said, I'm feeling pretty good. A person said to me, he said, you're narrow-minded. You think you're the only one that's right. No, I don't. That's not my attitude. But this, what I have believed, that ministry, that teaching ministry, I believe it has been a true teaching ministry. I might tell you this. There was a time, you know, we lived here, as I said, and I was at his house. I forget whether it was when we lived here or just before, but he was looking at Brother Vail. He was looking, he was talking to a man with a backhoe, David Weiskettle, I think was his name, out of DeGraff. And so he started testifying to this man about the things of God. I said, wow, this is going to be interesting. Because, you know, I said, we were so gung-ho to try to tell everybody about this. And I made some pretty bad mistakes till finally I learned to keep my mouth shut a little more until they ask a question. But I said, this is going to be interesting to watch Brother Vail testify to see. Maybe I can learn something to see how he testifies. And he started talking to that man and he gave him a little bit. And he gave him a little bit more. He gave him a little bit more. A little bit more, a little bit more. The guy was, you could tell, he was being very nice and polite. He was a real nice man. But I said, I was chuckling in myself. I thought, boy, you're loading this guy up. During the course of that conversation, I heard Brother Vail saying, because I knew Brother Vail's ministry, I thought it was a very striking ministry at that time. I knew in my heart, I didn't feel in my heart that we could have another messenger. That couldn't be it. I knew it had to be inside the fivefold. Couldn't be outside the fivefold. A vindicated prophet teaches the fivefold. Nobody else takes authority over the fivefold. So I said, how would I place that ministry? Where would I place that? So during that conversation, he said to that man, among the ranks of the people that believe what we believe around the earth, I have the outstanding teaching ministry. And I said, there's my answer. And I believe that to this day. It's been an outstanding teaching ministry. I just love the word that has come forth. Different things could be said along that line, but I'll leave that alone. The supernatural is only to attract the attention of the people. For what? For the word, for the explanation, for the voice of the sign. Brother Branham said that always follows. But I hear the people talking where we are. I don't know how they are. The Branhamites know I'm talking about. We don't deal much with the denominations. Once in a while you have to, but very seldom. I hear them talking a lot about manifestation, manifestation. I rest 100% on the manifestation. Well, I believe the manifestation and the ministry of the prophet. I believe God is absolutely the God of miracles. He's never changed. Absolutely today, I believe He is absolutely that worker of miracles. But I'm resting on the word that came through God's channels. That's what I'm trusting in. And I believe it has carried us, and I believe it will carry us all the way through. Thinking about the abundance of the grace and mercy of God, can you imagine? I was thinking the other day, you know, what a wonderful word we have. Of course, I keep thinking, as I guess time and time again, it's such a wonderful word that we've been able to believe. But you know, the Bible said, and we say it at the funeral all the time, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Brother Branham said, the shout is the message. Then he said, my ministry is to declare him that he is here. Brother, we, by the grace of God, are believing the word of God. We are believing that word that was vindicated in our day. And then it goes on to say about comfort one another with these words. I am very happy to be comforted with that word, because that, I do believe, is what was vindicated. Thinking again about Moses, on the abundant mercy of God. Moses, the runaway prophet on the backside of the desert, sees a bush burning there and it wasn't consumed. He said, I will now turn aside to see why this bush is not consumed. And Brother Vail has said, you know, God was there and Moses, his prophet, was there, but Moses, the prophet, didn't know that God was there. And God spoke out of the bush to Moses and began the conversation and how that he was going to deliver the children of Israel. And I've got a scripture marked down here. He told him how he was going to do it in Exodus 33. Told Moses how he was going to deliver the children of Israel and who he was going to deliver them by, who he was going to use to deliver them. You know, I'm going to send you and so forth. And then in verse 12 of Exodus 33, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up the people that thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, that is God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up from here. And Brother Branham said, the Holy Spirit, pillar of fire, is here to lead us to the millennium.
Yes.
I am so happy about that. 2 Peter, two more scriptures, and then I will just close for this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1. Then Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us by glory or to glory and virtue, by which are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and so forth. But we believe his word. His word is the promise for everything we have need of. We can be dead in our bodies, but that word, if that word is in there, it's alive, is what we read, and that's what I'm counting on. Ephesians chapter 2. beginning from verse 1. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past, and in the lusts of our flesh. I'm reading from the New Schofield Reference, if your words are a little different. In the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to usward through Jesus Christ. What a tremendous hope we have in this day. I'm going to close there. Perhaps we could just bow in closing prayer, and I'll turn the service over to Brother Brian. Heavenly Father, we come before you once more with thanksgiving that you have allowed us this time together. We thank you for each one, the Lord, that names the name of Christ in this place. Father, may you minister to our hearts day by day. Lord, the things that have been said this morning, may you take them and divide to the people that which would be pleasing to you, Lord. May they remember those things that would be of benefit. Forgive me, Lord, for things that may have been said that were not our desire to cause anything, except that we would try to help the people. Have your own way, Father, in our lives. Lead us and direct us, each one, according to thy perfect will for our individual lives. Bless each family, bless each home, bless each person, we pray now, as we commit this word to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother Peter. That was a very solid word, and I specifically enjoyed the thoughts where he talked about the Brother Branham and how simple he accepted the word. That, as Brother Branham said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And how Brother Branham could look at that word and read it for what it is.
Yes.
You know, when we, Brother Pete, brought the doctrine over to Africa, in 2004, I had about 20 ministers come up to me after the meetings, and because what we did was we took the doctrine and took it to the quotes, but took it to hundreds and hundreds of scriptures. And the brothers came up to us afterwards, and they said, you know, we not only learned the truth of what Brother Branham said, but we also learned how to read our Bibles. Because too many people read their Bible like a book instead of one thought at a time. And that thought, when God says it, that's it. So I want to thank you very much for being with us. And as I mentioned before, you know, you look at people, and what you remember of people are the most astounding attributes in that person. And as I mentioned before service, you know, Brother Pete has always been one who I feel his integrity is very, very high. You know, he is transparent. You know, and that's why I like him so much, because I'm not one to, I'm not very political. I don't do a good job at it, never have. And when I get in those situations, I always end up with, basically in trouble. So, but with Brother Pete, I've never had to worry about that, because he speaks his mind, I speak mine, and we've had a good meeting in the minds over the years. So let's all rise to our feet, and let's just sing that song, "The Lord Bless Thee and Keep Thee, the Lord Make His Face Shine Upon Thee." The Lord bless thee and keep thee,
give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you, and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever.